Time to go around the Motu, and today it's to Queenstown and to Peter Newport. Kia ora, Peter. How are you?
I'm good, Susie. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you too. Now, one town in your area, which is having, well, it's having a bit of a boom, really, isn't it? It's Wanaka. Increasingly popular and populated. And how's that changing the face of the town?
I guess it's changing in a way that some people would say was inevitable. Wanaka used to be a quiet place where people maybe would go to retire. It was also quite an intellectual place with arts, festivals. But it's changing now because, unlike Queenstown, Wanaka has more flat land that's available to build on. And that's producing all of the things that go with growth. Wanaka, for a while, was quite famous for resisting the pressure from big global brands to go there. Like, there was no Hilton Hotel. There was very famously no McDonald's, and there still isn't. But the warehouse is about to arrive, and people there are starting to wonder if they're heading towards the fate of their slightly glitzy neighbour, Queenstown.
Oh, how do people feel about that?
Not happy. I mean, growth brings with it benefits and negatives. But one person in Wanaka actually feels so strongly about this that he started a petition that is designed to split Wanaka from Queenstown. At the moment, the Queenstown Lakes District Council governs both Queenstown and Wanaka. That's produced tensions, not unusual tensions, where Wanaka typically thinks maybe they don't get their fair share of expenditure by the council. But there's also this cultural difference. So I think what's happened recently, Susie, is that the local government commission has asked Queenstown Lakes District Council to confirm that the petition has the required 10% of signatures, which it does. That's 10% of the electoral roll. So now it moves into an investigation or a study by the local government commission to see if enough people in Wanaka actually do want to split and have their own council.
So what happens next, or rather, how long will this next step of that process take?
It won't be overnight, but as you can imagine, it will be a catalyst for all of the feeling that Wanaka people have towards independence. It will bring all sorts of debate to the surface. For instance, should they have a bigger airport? Do they want to become part of the mass tourism phenomenon that Queenstown is part of? It's a really watch this space type of situation. But I think the petition itself, Susie, is going to be a catalyst for all of those feelings about growth versus staying the same.
Mm. What about the situation with Queenstown itself and paved with Ponamu?
Indeed. Some people think the Queenstown streets are paved with gold, but a big development last week was the council, in partnership with Waka Kotahi and other construction partners who are doing up the centre of Queenstown. We suddenly discovered that $25,000 worth of greenstone or punamu had been inlaid into the street, re-street in the middle of Queenstown. These little tiny tiles, which are smaller than a paperback book, cost over $500 each. And this is at a time when you'll be aware that there are massive problems here with homelessness and people struggling with the high cost of living. So there's been a lot of reaction. The story that we published last week has gone global around the world. Over 500,000 people have been accessing it. The council, though, argues that the greenstone represents the heritage of this district, and it's part of a relationship they have with Ngāi Tahu. And the feeling is that this narrative highlights the benefits that gold and precious stones brought to the Queenstown district. Of course, it remains to be seen whether the residents share that view, but certainly at the moment there's been a lot of reaction in favour of council spending less money rather than more.
And I think the Queenstown Lakes ratepayer base is relatively small. So what does the council have to say about using some of the funds they've collected in this way?
But they've defended it. This is the centre of town, obviously for tourism revenue. It's important the centre of town looks good. All of the council media releases have concentrated on this narrative about the history of the area. And I'm sure there's a lot of sympathy for that, that we need to celebrate our history. We need to celebrate the links between Ngāi Tahu and Queenstown. It's just this conflict. It's a little bit like what we were talking about with Wānaka versus Queenstown, that there's an ongoing narrative here that's been probably going on for 30 years. Should we be growing without any apparent limits, or should we be cutting back? Because there is a debt question as well. You've mentioned that we have a very small ratepayer base, and yet we have debt that totals around $500 million. And now I think the ratepayers are watching what's happened in Auckland with their attempts to reduce debt, and just wondering how the council's argument in favour of celebrating our history and our relationship with Ngāi Tahu can be reconciled with the need to spend wisely and make sure that the books are balanced.
Is it possible that this Pounamu that has been inlaid could then be the target of thieves?
Yes, we did think carefully about this. When we published our story, we d obviously didn't want to encourage anything like that happening, but the council themselves did issue a media release back in March, celebrating the small tiles. They have told us that the Pounamu is anchored to the ground through concrete and bolts, but the reaction to the story has become a little bit of a Robin Hood situation, where people have said, perhaps jokingly online, that it might be socially justified to go and perhaps take some of the Pounamu and use it to help the homeless situation. I'm sure everybody would agree that we don't want that to happen. But again, it just highlights, even though you could say $25,000 isn't a lot of money, it highlights the issues here where I've never seen the homeless problem as bad as it is. I really don't know what's going to happen, because the ski season is about to start, and we have hundreds upon hundreds of people looking for a roof over their head. So I think that's where the community really wants to see action. And we haven't really seen that yet. We've had the housing minister, Megan Woods, down here recently. She had no immediate answers. It's possibly going to have to get worse before it gets better.
And as you're talking about the situation for many people finding somewhere to live, like so many places, there is an ongoing kōrero about density versus space.
Yes, that's a huge one. And I think, again, what's happening here, Susie, especially with our population having increased 10% over the last 3 years, it's really thrown the light on this need to go up instead of out. Especially, as I mentioned earlier, Wanaka has perhaps land, but Queenstown definitely doesn't. And yet all of the arguments in favour of higher rise buildings in Queenstown are offset by the fact that we don't really have a viable public transport system. And I think it's universally recognised that if you are going to build apartment buildings without sufficient car parks, then you're going to need to have a really good bus service. And we've had the same problems as in Wellington, Auckland, where it's been really hard to find bus drivers. We've had mass cancellations. And we've just also heard last week of a new subdivision that's going to be built just towards Kingston on the southern flank of Lake Wakatipu. And they're going to be more normal houses. But of course, that doesn't solve our housing problem, because the average price of a house in Queenstown is still sitting at about $1.7 million. So the pressure to go up is there, but the people that build the houses, the developers, can see no incentive to do so. And people argue that they can't use public transport if they're a builder, for instance. They need to take their tools to work, or if they're a recreational user who wants to take a boat or a jet ski to the lake. So I've got a feeling that Queenstown might be something of a test case for the government's push to go up instead of out. But it's a little bit like we can't supply answers at the moment. We can detail the problems, and we can explain why the problems are happening, but there seems to be a dire lack of solutions.
That's always the tricky bit, isn't it? Thank you very much, Peter Newport there. Good to talk to you from Queenstown this morning.